goes beyond the aging process that all bodies are destined to experience. Thus, Lao Tzu encourages you to apply this principle to your thought processes and behaviors. You're reminded that rigidity and hardness accompany death, while pliability and even weakness are the companions of life. You may have been taught that strength is measured by how hard you are in your thinking or how inflexible you are in your opinions, and that weakness is associated with those who bend. But when confronted with any stressful situation, keep in mind that being stiff won't get you very far, whereas being flexible will carry you through. Change the way you think about strength, not just as it relates to those in positions of power, but for yourself as well. There's a lot to be said for what we're conditioned to think of as weak. Begin to see that strength is weakness, and weakness is strength, just another of the Tao Te Ching's fascinating paradoxes. Here's what Lao Tzu urges you to consider as you apply the lessons of this oft-quoted 76th verse. First, be strong by bending. Be willing to be like palm trees in the midst of hurricane-force winds. Their so-called weakness somehow gives them the strength to survive devastating storms. The same is true for the way you relate to others, so listen more. Allow your viewpoints to be challenged and bend when necessary, knowing that you're actually choosing strength. The more you think in rigid ways, refraining from considering other points of view, the more you're liable to break. As Lao Tzu reminds you, the hard and stiff will be broken, while the soft and supple will prevail. And secondly, examine your unbendable attitudes. Scrutinize your attitudes on matters such as the death penalty, legalization of certain drugs, abortion, gun or birth control, taxation, energy conservation, and any other issues on which you hold an unshakable position. Then make an effort to walk in the shoes of those who have an opposite opinion. When you consider the rebuttals they'll offer, you'll see that this old proverb has some truth in it. Quote, "This is my way. What is your way? The way doesn't exist." Unquote. Today, for example, I had a conversation with my daughter Serena concerning a presentation she was to make before one of her college classes. She was convinced that her conclusion was unbendable regarding a large retail chain's employment policies. There was no room for discussion. They were wrong, and she was right. Yet for the sake of an intelligent discussion, I took the position of the retail giant and tried to offer that perspective to her. As our discussion continued, my daughter found herself bending just a bit. As she realized that every story has two sides, she found herself willing to listen to the opposition. Serena was able to bend in a way that made her strong. If leaders on both sides of any matter were willing to at least listen to each other, conflicts wouldn't need to escalate to life and death proportions. By listening, yielding, and being gentle, we all become disciples of life. Do the Tao now. Every day in yoga class, there's an exercise that reminds me of this verse of the Tao Te Ching, and I encourage you to practice it right now. Stand with your feet together, raise your hands above your head, and stretch as high as you possibly can. Now bend to the right as far as you can go, stretching for 60 seconds, then return to an upright position, and do the same on your left side. All the while, see yourself as flexible, supple, and able to bend in harmony with the Tao. The 77th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "The way of heaven is like drawing a bow. The high is lowered, the low is raised. When it is surplus, it reduces. When it is deficient, it increases. The Tao of mankind is the opposite. It reduces the deficiency in order to add to the surplus. It strips the needy to serve those who have too much. Only the one who has the Tao offers his surplus to others. What man has more than enough and gives it to the world? Only the man of the Tao. The master can keep giving because there's no end to his wealth. He acts without expectation, succeeds without taking credit, and does not think that he is better than anyone else." Unquote. Living by offering the surplus. If you view the ways of heaven from a distance, you'll find that nature is perfect. The Tao is at work, invisibly keeping a divine balance. When I was in Sedona, Arizona, for instance, I took a tour of the forested areas in the steppes of the majestic Red Rock Mountains. After I lamented the recent fires that had decimated so many trees, the guide explained how this had actually been nature at work. For millions of years, he explained, when the forest gets too thick, nature's lightning strikes and thins out the forest. Without such an occurrence, the timber would choke on its own surplus. This is how our planet works. While at times natural events such as droughts, floods, hurricanes, windstorms, and excessive rainfall can seem disastrous, they're actually maintaining balance. This is also clear in the lives of butterflies, flocks of geese, or herds of caribou and buffalo. The sport of killing upsets nature's system of dealing with surpluses, and the Tao agrees. When it is surplus, it reduces. When it is deficient, it increases. Observe nature, says Lao Tzu. If deficiencies exist, don't continue to reduce what's already in short supply. The lessons in these final verses relate to governing the masses by staying harmonized with the Tao. Lao Tzu seems to rail against people in positions of political power who took from the needy to give themselves more of what they didn't need. In today's world, we can see evidence of this practice in a myriad of ways, but especially in lawmakers voting themselves benefits to be paid for by everyone else. They give themselves 95% retirement packages, medical insurance for life, limousines, private parking places on public lands, and free first-class travel, even as they strip the needy and serve those who have too much. And in countries where starvation is rampant, it's not unusual to see large amounts of food and supplies stacked on docks while people die from malnourishment because government representatives think they're above all of that. This 77th verse of the Tao Te Ching suggests thinking about the surpluses we can put back into circulation to decrease deficiencies that exist elsewhere in our world. Lao Tzu asks you and me both to put the wisdom of this verse to work in our personal lives by seeing what we have but don't need as an opportunity to be Tao people. Lao Tzu isn't asking our government, political leaders, or captains of industry, but us personally. Quote, "What man has more than enough and gives it to the world?" Unquote. The answer is only the man or woman of the Tao. When there are enough of us, there will be a pool from which we Tao-centered people emerge to govern. Then we'll put into place the way of living offered in this verse. It's fairly simple to understand a surplus of money or possessions, but the word actually symbolizes much more. For example, there's the surplus of joy you feel that you can offer to yourself and your family. Then there's the excess of intellectual prowess, talent, compassion, health, strength, and kindness you can share with the world. Whenever you see deficiencies in joy, abundance, educational opportunities, perfect health, or sobriety, make your own surpluses available. Lao Tzu urges you to look at what's deficient and be an instrument of increasing rather than a collector of more, which marginalizes and divides the oneness that is all of life. Practice these new ways of being that are more aligned with the way of the Tao. First and foremost, reduce surplus. Reduce what's in excess in your life and then offer it where it can be utilized. Begin with your stuff, clothing, furniture, tools, equipment, radios, cameras.